Hello there, IELTS students. Welcome to IELTS Podcast. You no longer have to worry, fret, or panic about IELTS because we are here to guide you through this test jungle. Enjoy these IELTS tutorials, and if you need more help or want to access the famous online course, you can visit us at IELTSpodcast.com.
Hello there. It's Rob Buckinghamshire again here with another podcast for you. I'm all by myself today because Ben is very busy this week, so he can't help me out. So you'll have to put up with me. Remember me, I'm the ex-IELTS examiner. I've been teaching English for far too many years now, including IELTS and also at the university. I was an IELTS examiner for about 8 years. Now, I don't do that anymore, but I'm here to help you out with anything you need for your IELTS exam preparation. Well, let's start. We've got the title today. Let's look at this title. We're going to talk about speaking. Model answers for part three speaking. Model answers for speaking. Well, we've talked about model answers before. I don't know if you caught that podcast, but it was about the writing test, academic task two essays, and how we can take a task, try it out ourselves, first of all, write it, maybe under strict exam conditions, spending 40 minutes maximum on it, just as we would do an exam, and then compare it to a model answer, which could be a band 9 or a lower one, a band 7 or a band 8, for example. The idea is to raise our game, improve our standards by noticing the differences and learning from them. Hey, wait a minute. Before we go on, thinking about writing, I was chatting to Ben the other day, then I checked it out on the website, IELTSpodcast.com, and he's set up this new essay checking service. Have you seen it? It's really good, actually. It's, I'll tell you what it is. It's free. All you do, get into the website, and it will come up on screen. It will just say, essay checker. Free IELTS essay checker. Free IELTS essay checker. It's a very, very good way to improve quickly your writing by sending in your essay. All you have to do is just click on this. It says, yes, I want my essay checked. Couldn't be easier. You just upload your essay, send it there, and you get almost instant replies with all the suggestions that you're actually looking for. So try that out, please. It really is worth it. Ben said he's getting some great results. I'm sure he's that's true. I'm going to follow this up, actually. I'm very interested in this. I think it's a very, very interesting way to improve our writing very quickly. We've got models, we've got checks, we've got all kinds of ways. Okay, let's get back to what we're talking about today. Can we do the same with parts of the speaking test? You know, the model answers, I mean. But it's not exactly the same, is it? I mean, writing will always be a much more planned, thought-out process, whereas speaking is spontaneous. I mean, I know we can kind of go backtrack when we speak and rephrase what we said, or correct, if you like, errors. We notice them sometimes. You know, we make slips, as they say, slips of the tongue. But we can't erase what we say. Also, when we talk about well-formed, complex sentences in writing, is the same true in speaking? We don't really speak in sentences in the formal sense, do we? Yes, we put our ideas together, we construct our thoughts, our ideas in groups of words, which may often be very similar to written sentences, but we also mix them up with short phrases typical of spoken language, things like, well, you know, I mean, well, as I said before, well, you know, well, it's like, So, let's try looking at some part three speaking model answers. I've taken for this a part two topic, and I'm going to give you the questions first, taken from the three sets we find in part three speaking. Here's the topic. Describe a trip by public transport you have taken. together with these bullet points. When was the trip? What means of transport was it? What did you do on this trip? And explain how you felt. The usual four bullet points. In fact, I chose this topic just to fill you in there, because in my experience where I live, I mean, hardly any of the students I interviewed for IELTS have used public transport. They don't use it. They have their own cars or sometimes use taxis or whatever. It's just a fact of life here. People don't use public transport very much because the service is not very good, I'm afraid. Anyway, here are some possible questions. The first two questions could be questions from set one, the rather easier ones, no? How easy is it for people to travel around your country? And the other question, has travel become safer compared to how it was in the past? So our first question there is descriptive. Is it easy or is it not? What are the problems with traveling around your country? By public transport or by any means, of course. And the second one, has travel become safer compared to how it was in the past? I mean, they were thinking about not just your country, but in general, I suppose, yeah? Comparing things. And for set two, I've given another couple of possible questions here. What are the disadvantages and advantages, or perhaps I should say, I've made a slip, I made a mistake, I should have said advantages and disadvantages of low-cost air travel. A little bit more complex, asking you to compare and contrast advantages and disadvantages of something, low-cost air travel. And the second question, how will people travel in the future? This is more, you know, interesting because you're being asked to speculate, have ideas, use a little bit more complex grammar, discussing ifs and maybes and talking about future possible events. It's obviously a little bit more complex. Of course, set three questions are always the trickiest, the most difficult ones. I mean, I've got several, actually. I mean, some of them are quite interesting. Of course, we're not going to discuss all of these today. These are just a few guidelines. Question one here. Will traffic jams be reduced if public transport were made free? Question number two. Should governments focus more on rail or road transport for goods? I mean, do we have lots of big trucks travelling around the highways with stuff in them, holding up ordinary people trying to travel around, or should we put it on trains, or what? Question three. What obstacles do local governments have to face when they develop transportation infrastructure? Oh my God, a very long question. I mean, what are we talking about there? Perhaps some of us live in very old cities where it's rather difficult for, let's say, buses to get through narrow streets or one-way systems, etc., 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 and the rights of people to be able to walk around the centre of the town without maybe worrying too much about traffic, etc. And the final question, a little bit philosophical. They say travel broadens your mind. Is that true? Oh, my God. Okay. Now, let's be serious. The same with our writing podcast on model answers. I would say in a perfect world, what we should do now is break off for a coffee while you, all of you there, think of your answers to these questions. I mean, that's the best way to learn firsthand from model answers, comparing your version with another. You can do this, of course, when you're practicing with other students. I mean, noticing and learning from each other. I mean, when you get into, after you heard this podcast, the script version of this on the website, when you're, of course, looking first for your free IELTS checking service, your free essay checking service, remember? Yes, I want my essay checked online. Okay. try some of those. I mean, write, think of your answers, make a few notes, do it with a friend who's also preparing for IELTS, check it out between you, criticize yourselves constructively, good points, bad points, what have you left out, what more could you say? But in our podcast today, we don't really have time for all this because we've got to carry on. So listen to each of these model answers. I've got a couple of model answers here. Well, I got one for each. I've got three model answers. What kinds of things do you notice from these model answers? Now, that's a very important question, really. I mean, look out for these things. For these or any answers, any models, yourself included, when you're thinking yourself or practicing for the speaking test. The introduction to the answer. What kind of phrases are used? Does the person say, interesting question. Yes, I'm very interested. Oh, how does he or she do it? The other thing, of course, in part three, does the person avoid personal pronouns? Not too much I, me. Does the person keep things at a distance, fairly abstract? Remember, that's the idea in part three. You're not talking about yourself anymore. What about the examples? You're encouraged to give examples. Are the examples good? Are they relevant? Are they easily understandable, even if your examiner doesn't come from the same place of view, for example? And what about the length of the answers? How long should our answers be? 25 seconds, 30 seconds, maybe more, maybe less? Do we wait for the examiner to interrupt us? Do we run out of ideas after saying one thing? And of course, the other points here that you get scores on in IELTS. The vocabulary. Is it varied enough? Is it rich enough? Is it relevant to the topic? And what about the grammar? Is it, generally speaking, perfectly correct? Or maybe one or two errors which don't really interfere with comprehension? How good is it? Is it a good 7, 8, maybe a 9? And finally, something people don't think of too much, the intonation. Remember how important it is to stress the words, to make sure that there's a connection between what you want to say, what you're trying to say, and the way that you say it, the way you emphasize certain points. Okay, pause for a second. We're going to take an example from each set. Remember, please, these model answers are not supposed to be perfect. Can you improve on them? Let's stop after each one and make a few comments. I mean, I'll have a couple of comments, but I'll leave the rest to you. And I'm sure, you know, you'll come up with some great ideas. Set one. I've got the answer to this question. How easy is it for people to travel around your country? Well, if you're asking about public transport, I would say it's not easy. There are highways connecting all the major cities, although roads to smaller places are not in good shape. But most people would use private transport. I mean, take their own cars because, well, in the first place, there are not enough buses and also they can be dangerous. I mean, there have been quite a few accidents. They drive too fast and maybe for too many hours. In other countries, a bus on a long trip, there will be always two drivers. Here, that doesn't happen. Okay, a brief silence there because I finished. That was set one. I'm pretty pleased with that, actually, because did you notice the intonation? Let's work backwards. The intonation? Well, if you're asking about public transport, yeah, I'm stressing the words I want to emphasize. I would say it's not easy. Remember what I said? Okay. What about the grammar? It's very, very, very high-class spoken grammar. If that was written English, you would say, hey, wait a minute, this is a bit too much like spoken English. I mean, when I said things like, in other countries, a bus on a long trip, there will be always two drivers. Oh, they will. Sorry, I said there will always be two drivers. Now, in written English, I would probably write, in other countries, there will always be two drivers on a long bus trip. Of course, in spoken English, we don't actually always keep the same pattern. We might emphasize something like, well, you know, a bus on a long trip, you know, I mean, there will always be two drivers, won't there? So be aware of that. I mean, as an examiner, I would say that was absolutely wonderful, perfect. The vocabulary, well, there's not a lot of very sophisticated vocabulary here. I'm using simple vocabulary correctly. What else could I use? Public transport, highways, connecting major cities, not in good shape, take their own cars, quite a few accidents, drive too fast. I mean, nothing special, but well handled, no problem at all. The length of the answer also was very good. The example I gave about the possible dangers of travelling by bus on highways is a good example. I didn't mention I, apart from at the beginning. Oh, I also said, I mean. Okay, I said, I mean. But that, you know, I was full of those things, wasn't I? A lot of little, what do we call them, fillers. When I introduced it, well, if you're asking about public transport, that was my way of introducing the topic. Also, I use things like, I mean, as well as, okay, but most would use private transport, take their own cars, because, well, typical of spoken English. Okay, let's go on to set two. This is an answer to the question, how will people travel in the future? If I gave for set one, I think I'd give a good 8 for that, at least an 8 as an examiner. Set two, what do you think? How will people travel in the future? I was reading an article recently about self-drive cars, you know, the ones where you don't have to drive yourself. That will be the main way we will travel in the future, I think. So maybe there will be buses or trains that will be controlled by robots, or even flying taxis like in that film, Back to the Future. That's it. I didn't say that much, did I? What do you think about that? How will people travel in the future? I gave a couple of examples. The self-drive cars. I introduced it with an example. Yeah, I was reading an article recently about self-drive cars. That will be the main way we'll travel in the future, I think. Maybe I also added buses or trains controlled by robots or even flying taxis. So I made the little comment about the film Back to the Future. Did I say anything particularly remarkable? No. Is there stuff I could add? More examples? I could have said more. The vocabulary was reasonable, nothing special. Self-drive cars would get credit, I think, with any examiner. Flying taxis, perhaps a little bit short. I avoided the personal pronouns. Well, yes and no. I was reading, I think, nothing wrong with an I think maybe, but we don't want to make too many I thinks in a part three. Nothing special about that. I give it a 7. Can you do better than that? I hope you can. Okay, let's go to the set three. Okay, I chose the most kind of abstract question here. They say travel broadens your mind. Is that true? Listen to my answer. I think it depends on two things. First, how old you are. When you're a kid and you go on a family vacation to anywhere, let's say Italy, for example, and you get taken to see monuments and museums and so on, you're probably too young to understand things, and so you don't really appreciate the experience. But the second point is what we mean when we say broadens your mind. I remember a friend of mine who went backpacking all around Europe, and when he came home, all he did was complain about the places he'd seen and the people he'd met, the food, the weather, the customs, everything. It was like he was totally blind, totally closed to anything new. But you have to be open to learn new things or see things in a different way. Okay, and there I stop. And there I stop. Maybe the examiner interrupt me at that point and ask me a question, you know? Perhaps it would be, do you think most people can see new things in a new way? Do you think many people are open-minded? Or do you think it's only young people? Etc., etc., etc. Okay, an answer here which is long enough. I cut it into two points. The long example in the second part about the friend who went backpacking and learnt nothing. Because, okay, you can travel, but you don't necessarily broaden your mind if you don't have the kind of mind that wants to be open to new things. Some people just don't want to know anything new. And also the age factor, which I think is a pretty relevant thing. I mean, you know, taking around when you're a little kid, yeah, maybe years in the future you would remember a few things, but are you really going to appreciate that? Monuments, museums at the age of whatever it might be, 6 or 7 or 8 or even 9, possibly, but probably not. No, you'd rather go to a fun park or Disneyland or something like that. So the vocabulary is fine. Expressions like appreciate the experience, these collocations, no? Too young to understand things. Backpacking around Europe. Complain about things. Totally blind, totally closed to anything new. Open to learning new things. It depends on, I mean, the grammar as well, of course, because of that is absolutely spot on, no problems whatsoever. I mean, this is the kind of answer that, depending on the day of the week and depending how the examiner feels, might even get you a 9. It's a very good 8, to say the least. So, okay, model answers for speaking. Model answers for speaking. Yes, have a think about them. Use them. But at your discretion. Remember what I've been saying here about the writing as well. Try out your answers first and then compare. What do you notice? What are the differences between the way you're doing it and the way the model does it? Or a way that another student studying with you, a friend studying with you does it. Learn from each other. Learn from the models. Notice. Pick up things like a sponge. Learn what you want to learn from what you read and what you hear from other models, other examples, other people, and incorporate it into your own speech. And I think that's one way that you can improve your speaking and go for that very high IELTS grade, at least in speaking, as well, of course, in writing and in listening and in reading. Okay, that's all for today. Thank you very, very much. Take good care. This is Rob Buckinghamshire saying bye-bye for now, and I'll speak to you another time. Okay? Take good care of yourself and keep studying. Bye.
Thanks for listening to IELTSPodcast.com.